I'm Khalil A. Colonna, and this is Nashville. The Pledge of Allegiance, I, like many of you, became familiar with it in school. For me, it was early on in school, the second grade, where I and my family would look at the pledge differently. You see, way back in the 80s, my parents were aware of the injustices people faced here in our country. My folks would tell my siblings and I that, quote, you are an American, be proud of that. But that doesn't mean this country is perfect. So one day, my parents informed my siblings and I that they don't want us to recite the Pledge of Allegiance in school. They said, when this country does right by marginalized people from all backgrounds, that day is when you can say the pledge. It caused some waves. My second grade teacher became visibly upset. I was sent to the principal's office, and that led to weeks and weeks of meetings with my parents, the school, and the Baltimore County Board of Education. The end result, we would stand but not recite the Pledge of Allegiance. That experience left a big impression on me, and it was an early lesson on patriotism. And it generated this question that I still ask myself today. Does being loyal and patriotic to the country mean I can't criticize it? That's a question I'd like to ask our first guest, David Dark, who's a professor of religion at Belmont University. David, welcome back to This is Nashville.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be on.
Really glad to have you here with us. I do want to ask about the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, you shared a comment with us on Instagram about the pledge where you said, quote, even apart from the idolatry involved, it is a direct violation of the teachings of Jesus. Break that down for me.
I sure will. I will note that I grew up in the Church of Christ, which is mostly associated with Lipscomb, I suppose, in Nashville. And I want to note, too, that what one hears of white evangelicals these days and white Christian nationalism, but my parents were what I call Jimmy Carter evangelicals. They were not easy prey or easy meat, if you like, for Republican Party ideology. So I grew up in a house, I would say, full of Democrats, but we very much attended church, very much a part of the Church of Christ, and we took the teachings of Jesus very seriously. So if I swore, or if I even say I promise in front of my parents, they would remind me that Jesus taught, oh, I should know chapter and verse. I know it's between Matthew 5 and 7. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, that we're instructed to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And that includes oaths, pledges, and promises. Again, not so much the idolatry involved, because it is idolatrous, it seems to me, to pledge allegiance to an inanimate object. So I'm quite good standing. I'll even sing the national anthem from time to time. But when I'm asked to promise or pledge, I generally manage to avoid that for reasons of conscience.
I do want to bring in our next guest. Gwen Moore is an artist and writer, and she's a previous guest of the show. Welcome back to This is Nashville, Gwen.
Thank you so much.
You know, you also left the comment on our Instagram. It was about religion and the flag. I'm going to read it because I think it's important for listeners to hear. You said, quote, I quit saying it in high school, the pledge, when I realized under God with liberty and justice for all was not true. Back then, I used to say I would resume it when it was true. As the years have gone by, I realized that I don't pledge allegiance. Would allegiance entail or require? Now, I want to talk about that first part. Tell me what happened in high school for you to realize that you didn't think that the, quote, one nation under God part of the pledge was true.
Well, it was the 60s. I was a junior when Robert Kennedy and Dr. King were killed in high school. My high school was about half Black students. And it was very evident to me, because I was in South Central Los Angeles, that liberty and justice for all were just not true. And then, of course, Vietnam was continuing. I mean, you can imagine the whole, I don't have to describe the late 60s to you. But then later, I realized my parents had set me up to consider disagreeing with my government, because my dad had been a conscientious objector during World War II. And so I was appreciative that our country allows dissent and has actually made provision for people that disagree. And so I realized as a citizen, I could appreciate my privileges and opportunities and responsibilities without pledging anything or agreeing with everything. And so for me, allegiance sounded very serious, and I wanted to know, what does it mean to pledge allegiance? And as I've watched friends of mine go into politics and take office and make, you know, make vows, I always think, I know your religious background. I know you're a person of faith. What does this mean to you?
That's interesting, because it brings up the question of allegiance or obedience. And that feels similar to the point that David was making earlier about pledging the flag actually contradicts Christianity. You know, yeah. I'm interested in talking about that, particularly like you have friends who take public office. And, you know, if you're a Christian, you are allowed to give the oath of office on a Bible. If you're Muslim, you do it on a Quran. I believe if you're Jewish, you can do it on a Torah or whatever document you want. Is there something to be said about pledging to the country under the eyes of the Lord of your particular faith? Does that make the one's pledge to serve the country and the people of their country, their fellow citizens, does it make it sort of sacrament?
David and I could both talk for a long time about America's civil religion, but we probably won't. And so interestingly, my parents grew up like David's did in Nashville in Lipscomb territory. And David Lipscomb, the founder of that institution, was known to say, if you're a member of the kingdom of God, you shouldn't be involved in other kingdoms. And so my parents were very apolitical, and I turned out differently. I became quite political, but for the reason that I felt like our country allows us to participate without worshiping it. And I don't know that a lot of people even think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think a lot of people have ever questioned the pledge or standing or singing the great songs of America as being anything to do with their faith. It's like we are good at compartmentalizing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just don't consider it. But I grew up considering it because I had, you know, oddball parents that talked about conscientious objectors and things like that. So mm-hmm. I realized I have an oddball point of view. And then growing up in LA was another very different point of view, where I was confronted with the reality of other people's lives in an undeniable way. And I couldn't say, yeah, liberty and justice for all. I just couldn't say it.
Mm-hmm. We've got to take a short break. You can join the conversation by tweeting us at This Is Nashville. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. You've been listening to This Is Nashville on 90.3 WPLN News. I'm Alexis Marshall here in the studio with Blaze Ganey and Caroline Eggers. And we've been listening to a little bit of digging into why we say the Pledge of Allegiance, an interesting topic and something that you might think about if you're sort of a free thinker, if you're an independent thinker. That's the type of person that's listening to WPLN News, somebody who wants to ask the question over and over again. Why? It's because you want to dig deeper. WPLN News does that in our reporting. We do it on This Is Nashville. We do it in our newsletter online. We give you the bigger picture. We connect the dots, and that's why you value this service. WPLN.org is where you can go and support it with your dollars. There's also never been a better time to donate, because today and today only, we have $25,000 in matching money on the table, so your donation will be instantly doubled. WPLN.org is where you can give.
Yeah, and I wanted to add that the Nash Villager is also, our new podcast is also where we dig deeper into things and give you a picture. Nina also includes some history in that, or the host of the day. Tony recently did one. So it's another way that we are giving you the news. I know people love podcasts. If you're a podcast listener, I would say make sure to go and subscribe to the Nash Villager so that you can listen every morning to get the lay of the land of that day when it comes to news. But you know, it doesn't, your money goes a lot further than just the news of the day. It goes to making sure that we can dig into our stories and get multiple voices in our stories. You know, a big thing about being in news is trying to remain in the middle so that we can get the stories and the sources from both the right, the left, the middle, independent thinkers that may have different thoughts on certain issues. So if you are one of those people, you enjoy hearing different opinions on topics, give to WPLN.org because it helps us get those voices on the radio and on the air so that you can then hear them and maybe it'll influence the way that you think about certain topics.
Yeah, or just give you more space to think for yourself.
Yeah. And like Blaze says, you now have more ways than ever to get this news. And every day, this news is filled with stories that affect us. Some stories make us angry, others inspire us and maybe even reassure us. I will point to my colleagues, Blaze and Lexi, on that point. And you know, the importance of this knowledge gained can't be overlooked. As informed voters, consumers, and just human beings, it's our right and responsibility to react accordingly, trusting that the source of our information is accurate and trustworthy. WPLN has been your dependable public news source for over 60 years, and your gift will help make sure that continues to happen. To support our work, hop on to WPLN.org.
Caroline's absolutely right. I mean, it makes me think of like when you're in the drive-thru and you pull up to pay and somebody has already paid for you. Like that just puts a huge smile on your face and you're like, oh my gosh. And then you don't want to let the pay it forward line down. So, you know, you may pay for the person behind you. That's exactly how this public radio system works. Somebody a while ago, whether it be last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, paid to support this service so that you could be listening to it right now, today. Now is your chance to pay it forward so that the next person can discover their love for public radio, can be informed by the different stories that each of our beat reporters is turning in every single day, to have their minds expand listening to shows like This Is Nashville. Pay it forward right now and get your money doubled by this matching when you go to WPLN.org and click Give Now.
I'm Khalil A. Colonna, and this is Nashville. The American flag is supposed to inspire pride, patriotism, bravery, and an unwavering dedication to the ideals of the United States. But what is patriotism really? And why do we have a flag? Why do we have to say the Pledge of Allegiance at schools and ballgames? We'll dive into these questions and more with guests David Dark and Gwen Moore. There seems to be this ownership of what a real American is, of what patriotism means. When we think about religion and patriotism, a lot of times those things can go hand in hand for some people, particularly in today's political environment. And some of the most patriotic parts of the country, they're also the most religious. Dave, talk to me about that. Is this something that's a little bit regional in a sense?
Well, my read on religion is that religion is witness, is something that most of us are up to all of the time. When Gwen was talking, I thought of the way people say the word America as if they're praying to it in a way. And that is a thing. I think of Mark Twain saying loyalty to the country always, loyalty to the government when it deserves it. So I try to make a distinction between Vladimir Putin and the people of Russia, and I try to make a distinction between the people of the United States of America and whoever happens to be president. Yeah, I don't want to pledge allegiance, but I'm absolutely loyal to particular forms of human thriving in the United States of America. And I'm very wary of claims for God being issued by those who command or have commanded armed force against others. And I'll even say, especially because so much of the abusive behavior from our supermajority in Tennessee is accompanied by Bible verses, I think it's appropriate to say that our elected leaders use God for an appeal to their personal identity in Jesus Christ to kind of baptize or cover the abusive positions they stake out against constituents. Please forgive the ramble. Those are some things that come to mind on this question of pledging allegiance. So I'm absolutely committed to the beautiful state of Tennessee. But the beautiful state of Tennessee needs to be protected from the public safety threat, often embodied by many of our elected officials. This isn't disrespecting the troops. This isn't any of that. This is me exercising care with my own power of speech. And we're free to do that.
But what you're both saying to me is that, you know, allegiance to the country should be secondary to one's religious principles. A lot of folks feel that United States is a Christian country, should be strictly a Christian country. How do we reconcile that? Gwen?
Yeah. I've been thinking about that subject since college because I was blessed with a professor who talked about civil religion and how in the United States, there's been a concerted effort to combine patriotism with Christian belief as if they were interwoven into one thing ever since the 50s when we put "In God We Trust" on the money and we put "Under God" into the Pledge of Allegiance. And so anyway, I've been thinking about all that for a long time and never dreamed that I would be alive at this time in history. And so this is a challenging time to feel such a clear division between the absolute importance of religious freedom, which our country was founded upon, and at the same time rejecting a form of religion which is purporting to be something that we know it is not. And calling it out. And I had this very conversation yesterday with my cousin on Facebook. And I ended up saying to him, "No, the point you're making is exactly the point I'm making, which is I want non-Christian people to know this is not biblical Christianity that's being presented to you, even though it's got the name. That's what I want them to know. I'm not rejecting the church. I'm not rejecting Jesus. I'm not rejecting the Bible. I'm rejecting what I consider a false representation, and very dangerously false."
David, what would it take? What would have to change for you to truly believe in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to specify. America is a couple of things. It's a crime scene, and it's also a wonderful possibility in human history. Christianity is two things. When it isn't fascism, that's one thing. It's a peasant philosopher moral movement to which everyone is invited. So the pledge for me, to say the pledge, is a non-starter for me as a person who wishes to be a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. But I have a lot of hope for the United States, for the people of America, if we can preserve free and fair elections in the months to come.
All right. Thank you. Gwen, What would have to change for you to truly believe in the Pledge of Allegiance, to say it again?
I think I would have to define allegiance in a way that I was comfortable with, and it wouldn't be the same as most people. For me, I'm willing to say, I will not betray this country's interests, and I will want its best, and I will believe in its aspirational goals, and I will be grateful for the benefits that I'm given as a citizen, and I will accept the responsibilities I'm given as a citizen. And all of that, if that satisfies the need for allegiance, then I can do that. But if unquestioning obedience is called for, I can't do that.
I want to thank you both for this conversation, and thank you both for offering your perspectives. My guests were David Dark, he is a professor of religion at Belmont University, and Gwen Moore, artist and writer. You can join the conversation by tweeting us at This Is Nashville. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. You're listening to This Is Nashville on 90.3 WPLN News. I'm Alexis Marshall, your education reporter. I'm here in the studio with our environmental reporter, Caroline Eggers, and our political reporter, Blaise Gainey. We've been listening along with you. And if you value the types of conversations that you hear every weekday on This Is Nashville, it's time to support it. This is our spring fund drive, and there's never going to be a better time in this spring fund drive than right now to give, because we have $25,000 in matching money on the table from loyal members who are trying to incentivize you to join them. I promise you that every story that you hear on WPLN News, every thought-provoking conversation, every driveway moment where you just have to hear the end of that story is going to feel that much better. When you have some ownership over it, when you say, I helped, I made that happen, you can give a gift that makes sense for you and your budget right now at WPLN.org, and it will be instantly doubled. WPLN.org is where you can make that gift.
Yeah, so WPLN News is always working to report for you and to everyone. WPLN brings facts and context, perspective and understanding. And This Is Nashville brings you so many voices from our beautiful community. Together, this creates a vital service for all of us. And your partnership and support is so important. The majority of our funding comes from listeners like you. So please support this service by going online to WPLN.org.
Yeah, and in Nashville, we have a tradition of taking care of our communities, of reaching out to others. And we continue to do that through our reporting by making sure that we take care of the communities, not only in Nashville, but all across Middle Tennessee, so that we can make sure that when they're listening, they hear things about what's going on in their neighborhood. And the way that we do that is by having multiple reporters so that we can continue to cover what's going on in Nashville, what's going on across the state, and tie those things in with things that we see across the region. So if you want to give to that, you know, awesome widespread reporting, call 615-760-2010 or go online to WPLN.org and give now.
Yeah. And I mean, we didn't always have the deep bench of reporters that we have nowadays. It was not that long ago that we really only had like a general assignments reporter, and everybody had to sort of do everything. Now we have folks who can really dig in on their beats and stay really deeply connected with those sources, so that we're bringing you the most up-to-date information, giving you exclusive looks at different things going on in your community and around Middle Tennessee. That's really valuable, and it's not possible without listener support. That's why it's so important that you give right now during this spring fund drive. And if you're a habitual This Is Nashville listener, I'm going to suggest that you give as a sustaining member, that's giving on a monthly basis, start at just $10 a month. And for $10 a month, we would love to send you as a thank you gift our packable This Is Nashville tote bag. It's a black tote bag. You can sort of roll it up. It's easy to carry your groceries in. You can have everybody at the grocery store know that you support your public radio station. And on the tote bag, it has Khalil's signature phrase, be good to each other. Go ahead and get that tote bag for $10 a month at WPLN.org.
Yeah, and I want to actually piggyback on something that Alexis said earlier just now about us having a deep bench here at WPLN News. You know, if you're a sports fan like I am, having a deep bench is the teams that usually make it the furthest and are successful and win championships. That's essentially what we are trying to do here. We're trying to, you know, do the best job. And the only way you can do that is by having a deep bench of all-stars, of superstars. You know what I'm talking about. It's teams that really can take it far. And I believe WPLN is that. And the reason we've become that is because of you. You've been giving to the station already. I'm talking about the sustaining members. And it may just be time to up what you've been giving. You know, maybe inch it up $10, $15, who knows? Whatever you want to do, we will definitely enjoy using those funds to then turn them around and get out and put them back into the environment. So go online, WPLN.org, click Give Now, or call 615-760-2010. And thanks for your donation.
I'm Elizabeth Burton, and this is Nashville. And we're talking all about the American flag and the pledge. Now, if you've somehow forgotten how it goes, here's the pledge being said during the Tennessee legislative session, led by Representative Johnny Shaw.
Mr. Sergeant of Arms, invite the members into the chamber and close doors. I hereby declare the House of Representatives of the 113th General Assembly of the State of Tennessee now in session. Will the members please stand? Will the visitors in the gallery please stand and remain standing through the Pledge of Allegiance? Representative Shaw will serve as chaplain of the day. Representative Shaw, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for the good graces of this day. We thank you that you've blessed us to get up and start this day with the right minds. And most of all, God, the good graces that you have developed on us to receive it back. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe it's done because we ask it of you. Amen.
Representative Shaw will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Salute. Pledge. I pledge an allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice.
This all ties in really well to what our previous guests, David Dark and Gwen Moore, were talking about, how there's this deep connection between patriotism, the pledge, and religion in the country. Right before the pledge is recited, Representative Shaw is literally praying on the House floor. It's obvious that the pledge means something to him. I don't know if I can think of an instance where I have ever really, really felt this emotional pull to the pledge, or the flag for that matter. This Is Nashville's managing editor used to feel the same way. Tasha A.F. Lemley shared.
So it's the, you know, like year or two after we graduated high school and we're returning for
Some friends who had been juniors in our senior year who were graduating. And we're sitting, you know, up way up high in this arena where our graduation was taking place. And, you know, just talking as friends do. And the proceedings had begun.
You know, they're doing the regular things leading up to the graduation, the rigmarole, the songs, the march in, all of these kind of things. And at one point, the Pledge of Allegiance.
We weren't really paying attention because the Pledge of Allegiance doesn't really mean a lot to us.
It's not something that ever really resonated with me. I don't even remember learning it. It's just there. We're just kind of goofing off. And Stephen is a very loud and very present individual, even 30-something years later to this day. And at one point during this, the man in front of us turns around.
There was this white-haired old man who was sitting in the row in front of us who suddenly turned around, looked straight at me because I was the one who was talking, and said, "Have you no respect for this country's flag, you fool?
Have you no respect for your country's flag, you fool?" And we're just kind of stopped in our tracks. Like,
it was very dramatic. And we were shocked, but also kind of amused by the whole thing, honestly.
We hold it together just long enough till he turns back around and, you know, we start laughing, we start snickering. I mean, the kind of ancient language of "you fool," you know, that's kind of thrown us off. Even in that moment, though, I recognized something in this guy, something in this gentleman that wasn't anger. Like, I think I recognized the actual pain in his face, the pain in what he was saying to us and what he was trying to, you know, redirect us behind him, that this meant something more to him than it meant to me. He understood the Pledge of Allegiance to be something more than I understood and probably ever will.
That's just the perspective of one of our team members, so we decided to ask y'all what you think about the flag and the pledge. Kelly on Twitter said, "As a child, I remember feeling intense anxiety when we had to stand up and recite the Pledge of Allegiance in school every morning. I was worried they would find out I was Canadian, and I was scared to be in trouble for saying the Pledge of Allegiance to a flag when I wasn't even American." Veronica Electronica, who's a past guest of the show and a local drag queen, said, "Sometimes it, being the pledge, feels like a one-way promise. I can definitely understand that perspective from someone whose line of work has literally been under attack for the last year. The Liberty and Justice for All part seems to be something that really doesn't sit well with several of y'all. Local artist Eartha Kitch, which I love that name, told us on Instagram that she shudders and wonders what the intent behind its use is whenever she sees the American flag. Some people seem to not like the idea of pledging to a piece of fabric. Destin Weischer said, "I don't like being made to pledge anything to fabric. I mean, my underwear isn't always there for me, so..." Destin, if you'd like to come on the show to talk about that, we're here for you. Anyway, we also had a few comments that said it just felt like the whole thing was a gimmick. Justin Gilbert says, "It, being the pledge, was started by a flag salesman as a way to drum up business." I don't know if we can verify that part, but we had to know more about the whole thing and if it was just a marketing ploy. The pledge was written in 1892, and let's be real, I'm very suspicious of anything that happened before 1900. There seems to be some confusion about whether it was written by a child named Frank E. Bellamy for a kid's magazine or a socialist minister named Francis Bellamy. Either way, it started out as this 15-second thing: "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." So obviously there's been some changes made, and it seems like it was meant to drum up more patriotism during a time where a lot of people alive could still remember a time where there was a United States and there was a Confederate States. It was aimed more so at young students who would hopefully grow up to be a little more loyal to the country than generations before had been. The change from "my flag" to "the flag of the United States of America" came later alongside a rise of immigrants. The "under God" line didn't arrive until 1954, and at that time, my grandparents would have just been a couple of years away from getting married, so that feels pretty recent. With that introduction, we start getting church, state, religion, schools, and all these things very mixed up together. Fast forward to today, where our country's divisions make it easy to equate patriotism and the flag with just one side of the aisle. And to learn a little bit more about patriotism and politics, we brought in District 14 Councilmember Jordan Huffman.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to know, just right off the bat, do you have a really early memory, or what's your earliest memory of saying the Pledge of Allegiance or learning the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, that's a good question. I come from a small town in Northeast Tennessee called Greenville. And it's a typical small town USA. You're taught at a very young age the pledge, how to recite it, that you put your hand over your heart. And, you know, I can recall going back to kindergarten, first grade, knowing it and reciting it. Now, I will also note that I was a giant nerd when I was a child. So I
love that.
All of my capitals of my 50 states at first grade. But my classmates were not doing that, but they were saying the pledge. I do recall that well.
I remember being a kid and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, but I didn't really understand too much what the words meant. Do you feel like it resonated with you, or it was just like, oh, this is what we say every morning?
You know, that's the problem, because we say it to say it in this country. We don't practice it. We don't talk about what it actually means, the words behind it. At a young age, we're taught to recite it, but we're not taught the civic lessons behind it. That Pledge of Allegiance means a lot to me personally, because every time that I say it, it just makes me recall how proud I am to live in a country where we can believe different things, where we can go about our own business and practice just anything that we want through life in a free manner, or we should. There's so many folks that are familiar with the pledge and that they say it and it makes them feel patriotic, but they forget exactly why they're doing it. And then they'll get mad at someone who maybe chooses not to say it at, let's say, a sporting event or a council meeting for that matter. But that's what makes it great. You know, you can choose to do whatever you want. You can choose to say it. You can choose to not say it. That's what makes it great. And to lose sight of over that fact right there it really just shows the civic hold that we have from an education perspective as a society.
I like that. And it reminds me of what our previous guests were saying, David Dark and Gwen Moore. It's almost choosing not to say it could be more meaningful than just reciting it without thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a very important declaration that you're making when you're placing your hand over your heart and you're reciting the same thing over and over again throughout your life. Yeah, we owe it all to ourselves to understand that meaning so that we can live out what was intended, you know, and that goes right along with what you're saying with your previous guests. Whatever they believe, they have the right to believe that and to do whatever they want to do. You know, I think back to recent events in American history, and the one that comes to mind is the NFL protests made famous by Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Everybody was so mad because he chose to take a knee and to not stand for the pledge. The folks that would truly believe in what the pledge means and what it stands for would often be some of the first to defend somebody like Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. I was one of those people, you know. Hey, he clearly had his reasons to objecting to standing to when the pledge or when the Pledge of Allegiance was being aired. And I think that we all need to take heed to that, because if someone feels that they need to take a stand against something, it's important to understand what their perspective is. And instead of just brushing it off and calling them unpatriotic, and it's just not helpful at all.
Speaking of patriotism, how would you define patriotism for yourself?
Yeah, patriotism is giving back to your community in some form or fashion, and leaving it in a better place than than how you found it. So it can mean a multitude of things. It could mean making sure that you're attending community cleanups or and picking up litter in your community. It could mean something such as giving back to a local food shelter. But the point is you're making society better. You're not sitting on the sidelines. And our founding fathers believed in that. They fought for what was they thought was right. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that what they fought for was right. It's also just making sure that you're keeping the values that this country was founded on at the top of mind and that you defend them at any cost.
Another thing I was thinking about is, as a council member, when you run, you're running a nonpartisan race. And I feel like a lot of times we think about the American flag and patriotism and stuff. We really associate like being very pro-America with Republicans or the right and being anti or protesting America with the left. How does that come into play with what you're doing as a council member and as a nonpartisan elected official?
Yeah, you know, that is a problem that I have dealt with personally my entire adult life. I have been, while I am nonpartisan, I consider myself a member of the Democratic Party, have since I was of voting age. And it's kind of crazy to me to think that Democrats can't be as patriotic as Republicans. But one thing that I noticed, especially in the mid-2000s, is this switch that Democrats couldn't be patriotic. And it started to become more and more clear with the Bush years, especially the second term George W. Bush years. The interesting thing about it is it didn't stop. You know, with President Obama, he reignited that flame of really what the American dream means to folks. And I think that he did a good job of reestablishing that Democrats can actually be patriotic. But in recent years, it's just gotten worse. You know, there's a famous quote that I'm sure, Elizabeth, you've heard, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners have heard. It sometimes gets misrepresented that it's a Sinclair Lewis quote, but it goes something of the effect of when fascism hits the United States, that it will be wrapped in the cross and the flag. And it's something that I'm very mindful of, because we need to tread very lightly with politicians that do things in the name of freedom or do things in the name of the flag. That's very, very scary rhetoric to me. And, you know, it's with the recent upswing of right-wing Christian nationalism that often does this. It's something that I'm just always taking note of. But to say that anyone who votes for Donald Trump is more of a patriot than anyone that votes for Joe Biden is crazy. And I do believe that regardless of who you vote for, that 80% of us can likely agree on most things. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier of how we're so divided right now. I don't even think we can realize that. It's becoming more tribal than anything. So I look for any opportunity that I can to talk about, you know, why I think that, you know, I'm patriotic and that I stand for the flag and for the Constitution because of these specific principles. Because if we don't, if we're not clear on these things, then the other side is going to continue to just take away that semblance of being able to say, hey, I'm an American too. I'm patriotic too.
I feel like one thing that's really important about local election and local government bodies is that
there's less of an opportunity sometimes for things to be so polarized, like right and left, Democrat and Republican, because those races are nonpartisan.
Yeah, and you know, on the local level, there's I say this often, but there's no Democrat or Republican way to fill a pothole.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And for the majority too, on the council, it's interesting. We do have conservatives and we do have liberals, but you know, on most things, you will see both of those sides coming together for a collective cause. Now, we will. We'll go back to our respective sides on other things, but we do come together a lot more, and it's because of that local nonpartisan effect. I truly believe that. Of course, everyone knows that who's a Republican and who's a Democrat, but not having to tie yourself to a party makes you a better public servant. And on the local level, it's so important that you have that level of neutrality so that you can be that direct representative in government.
And before we wrap up, are there any ways that you feel like are positive and helpful and productive that people that in Nashville can do to really honor the message of the flag and the pledge?
Yeah, get involved on the local level. Get involved in your local neighborhood organization. Give back to your community. Attend a council meeting. You know, they're most of the time not very exciting, but we do the work of the people, and we're voting on stuff all the time that directly impacts people's lives. So knowledge is power, and the more that you can equip yourself with what's going on in your community, the better off not only you're going to be, but the better representative that you're going to be for your general area, and to stand up for the needs of those that may not be represented right now.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Jordan Huffman, for joining us today. And we'd love to have you back on the show sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. This is Nashville is a production of Nashville Public Radio. Today's episode was produced by yours truly, Elizabeth Burton. It was directed by me and Khalil A. Colonna. Listen back at thisisnashville.org or wherever you get good podcasts. The conversation doesn't end here. Tweet us at thisisnashville, find us on Instagram, and tell us what you want from our show by filling out a quick survey online or leave us a voicemail at 615-760-2000. And if you like what you're hearing, visit WPLN.org and hit that Give Now button so we can keep bringing you important conversations from Middle Tennessee. This is Nashville. I'm Elizabeth Burton, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Be good to each other.